You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In the Benny Green Archives.
Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. The sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Sing hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. That sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take you by the hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. And it's all so nice and peaceful when you get on the other side. Forget your troubles and just get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Forget your troubles, come on, be happy. Forget your troubles, come on, stay happy. Happy.
One day in the early 1940s, the songwriter Johnny Mercer walked into a Hollywood record shop and met a friend called Glenn Wallach. They got talking and Wallach suggested they make a few records of their own to be sold in the foyers of movie houses. Mercer promised to mention the idea to Buddy De Silva, one-time songwriter and now Mercer's boss at Paramount. Mercer then signed up Nat Cole and Stan Kenton. Ella Mae Morse turned up. Mercer recruited the daughter of his old partner, Richard Whiting, Margaret Whiting, and Capitol Records was in the market. By the time Sinatra was recruited in the early 1950s, the company was one of the biggest and most successful in the world. One year, the profits actually rose to $200,000. By 1970, they'd reached $200 million. The album Sinatra made must have had a part in all that. They also had a part in something much more important, Sinatra's career, and particularly his crusade on behalf of the great songs of his adolescence. Concurrent with the Capitol honeymoon ran the hysteria of From Here to Eternity. Sinatra's portrayal of Maggio, the doomed soldier on the eve of Pearl Harbor, won him an Oscar and a new career. Overnight, literally overnight, he was hot again. It was a reboot. A second shot. And this time, there was to be no faltering. Sinatra's European tour of 1953 was punctuated by the usual squabbles with the press, but in Britain, apart from a difference of opinion with authorities at Heathrow, it was roses all the way. For his appearance at the BBC studios, he turned up dressed like a city gent, right down to the rolled umbrella and the washed leather gloves. The studio orchestra on that occasion was led by Cyril Stapleton, and we're indebted to Mrs. Sheila Stapleton for having rediscovered this.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's the man you've been waiting for. It's my pleasure to welcome back to Showband Show the one and only Frank Sinatra! I've got the world on a string, and I'm sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, What a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing. I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see? I'm in love. Life's a wonderful thing. As long as I hold the string, I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Life's a wonderful thing. As long as I hold the string, I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world.
Wonderful. And let me say how much everybody enjoyed your last visit to the show and how much we've looked forward to this one.
Well, gee, Ricky, if I had only realized how all of you felt.
Yeah?
I would have asked BBC for more money.
You mean you get paid? Well, anyway, Frank, here we are again, face to face.
Yeah, gruesome, isn't it? Seriously, Ricky, I'm happy to be back on the show. The last one was like food and drink to me. I enjoyed it right through from the soup to the nuts.
Hoot, man, and hi, Willy Wallachy. Whoosh, don, don, Google. We got it.
This time we start with the nuts.
That's an action.
Oh, this guy's been drinking.
Yeah. Well, you see, it's just that Cyril is trying to make you feel at home after visiting Scotland, Frank.
I see.
By the way, did you have an interesting time in Glasgow?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Mind you, I found out that other American singers have surely left their mark up there.
Really?
And one day after one of the heavy rains, I was standing in a small puddle, and a little boy came up to me and said, yeah, have your autograph, Mr. Ray?
And what did you do?
I washed his mouth out with soap.
Frank Sinatra, I Got the World on a String, and also Crossing Rubber Swords with Ricky Fulton. Towards the end of the year, for a new recording session, he switched backgrounds, dropped the big band syncopation, and opted for a gentler, smallish group which featured strings and had no brass at all. The result was devastating. Sinatra was now embarked on his brilliant series of albums, comprising the secular hymns of his generation.
Lately, I find myself out gazing at stars, hearing guitars like someone in love. Sometimes the things I do astound me. Mostly whenever you're around me. Lately I seem to walk as though I had wings, bump into things like someone in love. Each time I look at you, I'm limp as a glove and feeling like someone in love. Lately I seem to walk as though I had wings. I bump into things like someone in love. Each time I look at you, as a glove and feeling like someone in love.
From now on, it was what he wanted to sing, and it was equally clear what he wanted to sing. He wanted to sing the best songs, irrespective of age or origin, in defiance of fashion and song pluggers. That small group album, Songs for Young Lovers, had the definitive Sinatra cover, showing him leaning under a lamppost holding a cigarette, while around him loving couples wander through the shadows. The lonely troubadour watching the scene. And it seems that at this moment he was lonely in his private life. The marriage to Ava Gardner must have been among the most public partnerships any two private individuals ever endured. The press had a field day at their expense. And yet to this day, it wonders why Sinatra is not crazy about reporters. The marriage to Ava collapsed, and for the next decade, Sinatra became the world's most eligible bachelor. It sounds debonair, but in fact it was a grievous time when his friends rallied round, particularly the songwriter Julie Stein.
I lived with Frank for a year when he divorced Ava. My first wife passed away, and I was depressed, and he was depressed. And so Sammy said, why don't you guys move in together, you see? And so we moved in together, and they were the most wonderful year I'd ever spent. He was so kind to me, worrying about how I feel, and in worrying about how I feel, that's Frank thing, it was a great remedy for how he felt.
It took Sinatra years to recover from that grave emotional crisis, and through all those years, friends like Stein continued to do all they could to help.
Sinatra was unhappy at home at the time, and the only way we could keep him at home with his family was put on a review every night at his house. And Sammy Kahn would write these scripts with Phil Silvers, myself, we'd do all these scripts, and we'd put on shows week after, night after night after night. One night, everybody showed up, and Sammy had been sick. He showed up, but had been sick, and there was no show. We thought we'd just wing it that night just to see what would happen. Anyhow, I was kind of getting kind of dull, and Sam and the natives were getting restless. Frank was ready to leave the house, and we had to keep him there. So I said to Frank, listen, I said, Frank, ask the whole Grant gang. There sat the best, Peggy Lee and all the top arrangers. Everyone was there. Why don't you ask if anybody's heard any of the songs from Annie Oakley? Annie Get Your Gun was called Annie Oakley then, which Jerome Kern and Dorothy Fields started writing. So Frank said, I got an album coming up. Has anybody heard the songs from Annie Oakley, the Kern songs? I said, I heard two of the songs, but I only remember one. You know, I wasn't supposed to look at them. They were on the piano there, and I just glanced at it. I remember this. Frank said, let's hear it. Now, I'm going to the piano and going to play a song I never saw. There was no such song, but I'm going to put the whole party on. And I started playing. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I didn't know when I got out of it where to go at the end, so I said, I'll do a very big explosive thing here. I'll write the last eight bars. I went, da, 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 da. I just sent the whole thing up an octave. God, Frank said, I'm cutting that next week. Well, I didn't even know the name of it. Don't worry, you'll get on the phone and we're going to record it next week. And then Axel Stordahl, the arranger, said, play it again, Julie. I was very drunk. I didn't remember what I played. But Sammy did. Sammy says, Julie, it goes time. And my put on, it was improvised, completely improvised. And Frank recorded it the following week, as I tell you. We had a lyric, and that was a history of Time After Time.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show you've kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky to be loving you. Passing years will show you've kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say,
the capital years for Sinatra were also the years of the great starring movies, not all of them musical. By now, Sinatra was being taken at his own evaluation as a straight actor, although in the best of his movies of the period, there was singing as well as acting. And as often as not, these songs were being written by the same small group of men. Sinatra's loyalty to this group is very understandable. One songwriter in particular had seen the man's potential long before the rest of the field, and had rooted for him accordingly. The other songwriters understood this and approved. Here is Paul Francis Webster, himself an Oscar winner, stating the case.
To a great extent, Frank Sinatra was a captive to Sammy Kahn and Julie Stein. They sponsored him, they got him the apartment. When he came out, they met him in Pasadena in the car. And they knew how great he was, and they rode the gravy train, and more power to him. I think it was like a good marriage. The songs were right for Frank. Frank was right for the songs.
If it was Julie Stein who had gone to live with Sinatra in the aftermath of the crash of the marriage, It was Sammy Kahn who reveled in the situation of providing songs for the greatest singer of the century. In later years, when Kahn himself took to the boards, he never tired, and incidentally nor did his audiences, of the stories involving the birth of a new Sinatra band. It was a sort of sacred ritual with ground rules of its own. On the surface, no congratulations, no gushing enthusiasm, just a tough business transaction with gruff acceptance. But underneath, well, underneath there was a mutual admiration society going, the likes of which can have known few equals in the field of singer-writer relations.
What is the most important thing about writing a song? And the most important thing about writing a song is demonstrating it. The man I really, really enjoy singing a song to is Mr. Frank Sinatra. So we were assigned to write a song for a picture called The Joker is Wild. And we wrote the song to fit a dramatic scene. In the beginning of the picture, Mr. Joey Lewis sings, "When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you." Big note. All the way. And later on in the picture, when these gangsters have almost severed his vocal cords, he tries to sing the song and gets as far as, "When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you." And you know that he's never going to sing those notes. So we had finished the song, and now came the formality of singing the song for Sinatra. And we were obliged to go to the Sands Hotel, and Mr. Sinatra would hear the song during breakfast. So 5:30 that afternoon, we went to his suite. The door opened, he walked out looking like all the Dorian Grays of all time. He looked at me and said, "You before breakfast?" I said, "Hey, I got to look at you while I'm singing too." So I took my stance, Mr. Van Heusen played.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest tree is, that's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is, that's how deep it goes, if it's real. When somebody needs you, it's no good unless he needs you. All the way. Through the good or lean years, and for all the in-between years, come what may. Who knows where the road will lead us? Only a fool would say. But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way. All the way. Love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way, all the way.
February 1955 finds him involved in the third Capitol album, again with Nelson Riddle, and again with songs whose message is universal and yet intensely personal at the same time. Some of these songs are the ones that some people find almost too true to bear, depending on their own private story. When this next song was first played for Judy Garland, she felt it was so bleak that it might depress people. Possibly, but not necessarily. The song had magnificent musical qualities. Suppose a singer could bring out those possibilities and show it for what it was, a thing of beauty.
Last night, when we were young, love was a star, a song unsung. Life was so new, so real, so right. Ages ago, last night, today, the world is old. And time grew cold. Where is that star that seemed so bright? Ages ago, last night, to think that spring had depended on merely this, a look, a kiss. To think that something so splendid could slip away in one little daybreak. So now let's reminisce and recollect the sighs and the kisses, the arms that clung.
That piece of work, by kind permission of Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg, is the vocal analogue of all those glum cover images of the lonely lover sitting at the bar or leaning against the lamps of the night, the romantic loser. It was an image which Sinatra invented and which he executed like a master raconteur. But it was his other side, the swinging side, with jazz musicians in support, which got him his fame as the swinging Sinatra. He wasn't singing ballads of unrequited love all the time. But between the sad songs and the exhilarating ones, there was a common denominator. They were all masterpieces of the songwriting art. What had happened was simply that he had hyped himself, by the application of natural talent, out of the market into some kind of super bracket which hadn't existed before. The world was now learning to wait for each new album and snap it up with an expectation that seemed never to be disappointed. Samuel Goldwyn, with his immaculate sense of the inappropriate, miscast him in Guys and Dolls, actually preferring Marlon Brando, the Sky Masterson, a comic blunder which Sinatra was to rectify one day, as we shall see. The Tender Trap was the picture which did most, I think, to establish the city slicker image, the swinging Frank, never lost for a snappy line or a snappy suit. By 1956, he was into high society and was making two more historic albums. By now, the tempestuous temperament was too well known. A few lawsuits, a few walkouts, a few tremendous public arguments. But once the turntable started spinning, all the contradictions seemed to resolve themselves into the most exquisite musical formulations. The perfect distillation of an art form Sinatra had always loved so passionately, the art form of the popular song. In one of his albums of 1956, Sinatra turned away from the big band and went to the other extreme. He hired the Hollywood String Quartet to play some Riddle arrangements, and the result was not bleak, as the wiseacres might have predicted, but oddly romantic, that characteristic mingling of melancholia and joy, which is the stuff of all great performances.
Close to you, I will always stay. Close to you, though you're far away, you'll always be near. By my side, no matter where, in my dreams I'll find you there, close to me. Sharing your caress, can't you see? You're my happiness. Wherever you go, my heart will go too. What can I do? It only wants to be close to you.
By the time Sinatra cut the sides which make up the Close to You album, he had already done what posterity might well be inclined to select one day as his most typical album of all. A marvelous collection, any one of whose 15 tracks could be singled out as a classic.
Wherever you go, my heart will go too. What can I do? It only wants to be close to you.
And that's it. See you same time next week. You've been listening to In the Benny Green Archives here on lgradio.online. Please do visit the website to find out when the next episode is on, along with all our other shows. This is lgradio.online. Thanks for listening.